The Upper Cumberland Development District recently polled Upper Cumberland residents about the biggest issues facing our area at this point. Among the issues described, better jobs, higher paying jobs, and more access to affordable housing. How do we look at these topics, and what are possible solutions? We're joined by Megan Spurgeon. She is the director of Empower Upper Cumberland. Charles Cobb is an economic development planner at UCDD. And Jeremiah Miller is the UC Workforce Board's Business Services and Performance Administrator.
I think that affordable housing has grown to be a pretty big issue, and I think that having some strategies to tackle that is going to be really important for us. Affordable jobs, they kind of all go hand in hand with each other. Having an affordable job leads to having a home that you can afford and keeps you away from being homeless. So I think that they all kind of make sense.
Sometimes when we talk about affordable housing, it is that there's not housing available. There's not enough housing in the right price ranges. And that is an issue. But the whole idea of rental in the Upper Cumberland, that's been a long time coming, that we have a lot of people renting.
Yeah.
A place to live.
Yeah, rentals, you know, it's a great option for a lot of people, but it's not always the best option. And going towards home ownership is something that we try to do and try to encourage our families to do. But I do know that the cost of rentals has increased significantly. The same house that I had 10 years ago when I was at Tennessee Tech that was $750 a month is now $1,500 a month. And that was in 2014, so actually less than 10 years ago. So that price of that rental home doubling is a big deal for students, for families. I can assure you that the income rates have not increased double from what people were making. I don't make twice as much as I made even 10 years ago either. So there's definitely some correlation there.
Some of these issues, you can say, okay, I see easy answers to this. Affordable housing is one. Is there an easy answer? Is there something we can wave a wand and start a program to get going?
I don't know that it's that easy, but what we're working to do and what Charles and Megan Choate and the group over at the Development District is working to do is to understand, look at the baseline, look at the data, what are the trends doing, and then from there, what can we look at? What are other states doing? What are other countries even doing to make this more manageable? And that's what we're looking to do.
In my experience, I've seen that it's a perfect storm is what we've been calling it as to why things aren't as affordable as they seem to once have been. Whether it's lack of education for young folks in high school and early college that they don't understand the process of purchasing a home once they have the means to acquire one. There's been a variety of circumstances that I've seen where people didn't know that they could afford a house. Mm-hmm. So they just went ahead and got a rental and they're, you know, dumping $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 a month into a house that they rent when they could have purchased a house for $800 a month. Mm-hmm. And they just don't know that. And so I think a combination of that, as well as the, you know, lesser incomes that we've seen as compared to housing prices, as well as the lack of availability. It's just we call it the perfect storm.
So that that education thing, we could absolutely mm-hmm. do something
about. Oh, absolutely,
about.
Yes.
Is that something that Empower, UCDD, is that something that you can be stewards in leading that to try to make that happen?
I think it's something that we can pilot for sure to share that information. I mean, all of us in the room are, you know, fairly young, and that wasn't anything that we were taught in school either. So going that direction of having some information of what it means to have good credit, that's kind of where all that picture starts, is a big deal. We are looking through this program specifically to connect families to resources such as THDA and explaining to them, you know, what that can do for them and what down payment assistance might be available. But then, of course, it'll all lead back to the inventory that's available for housing as well. So,
Charles, have you done much work in that area about what is the inventory situation in our region?
I have. I actually did a search yesterday just to kind of examine for in Putnam County, for example. I searched for a home that was under $200,000 for purchase, and I found 8. And the largest one was a 3-bed, 1-bath house at 1,300 square feet, and it was built in 1945. And it looked like it was built in 1945. So that's been kind of the status of the housing stock for the last 3 years or so. Ever since COVID hit, as soon as it hit, there was a little lull in the market. Come April 2020, it's been nonstop ever since. And combine that with the low interest rates, people took advantage of it. And I don't blame them for doing so. But between that and then a lot of other folks coming here to take advantage of that, it really hurt the folks that couldn't afford a house at now the current interest rate of 6.39%.
Is there a true understanding among the average resident of what we mean when we use the term affordable housing?
I don't know that there is. I think that that definition probably varies to everybody. And a lot of that, when you think of affordable housing, I always go back to the 30% rule. So I would look at 30% of my income or my husband's, our combined income, and say, okay, that's what we can quote unquote afford. But I don't think that that definition is what we refer to when we're talking about affordable housing. You know, we're looking at having having families that are paying 50% of their income towards a housing, and that's certainly not affordable. So I'm sure there's a standard definition of affordable housing, but that's normally what I would go back to, that 30%.
And I think there is a stigma around the term affordable housing.
Because I think a lot of times people think low-income housing.
They do, and that can be the case. And that's what it's been coined as, you know, by the in certain government circumstances and things of that nature. So I heard at a conference I went to in Murfreesboro a month or so ago, it was a housing conference through THDA, and they were kept saying housing affordability, which sounds the same, but it's not. I mean, it's just the general idea that this house is affordable to this demographic of people rather than being a affordable housing where you automatically go to the stigma of this is going to be subsidized or low income.
We're talking about some of the issues brought to the table by the leaders of the Upper Cumberland, the concerns that they have about life right now in our region and the things that are being done to work on those. As we visit with Megan Spurgeon, Charles Cobb will bring Jeremiah Miller into the conversation as we continue. Jobs, mental health, affordable housing, some of the issues being discussed across the Upper Cumberland by county leaders of some things that we all need to focus on. We're talking about those today with Jeremiah Miller, Charles Cobb, Megan Spurgeon. Before we leave affordable housing, is there anything that can be done from a UCDD level, a UCHRA level, from Empower Upper Cumberland? Is there anything to encourage inventory, the creation of lower price point housing?
We had a brainstorming session on just that thing about a week ago. What can be done? And I think what we're looking at is of course, first establishing the baseline, understanding what the trends are looking like, and then we're going to do what we spoke about earlier and see what's happening in other areas.
They are, and I think a lot of them that I've been researching and studying on also do have a lot more capital than our smaller communities do. Mm-hmm. So they have the means and the access to larger amounts of funds, like Knoxville, like Nashville, you know, Houston, Texas. Those places have millions of dollars sitting in accounts that they don't need for any other reason, so they dump them into a housing account. We don't really have that, so we're having to get creative and research heavy into what smaller communities, because most of our communities are rural, mm-hmm. to see what that difference is and what we can do to implement those things.
Is there an opportunity at all, or have you seen in the research that you've done that, you know, obviously the land price in Putnam County is much different than the land price in Overton County or in White County or in Jackson County, but to use those counties that surround Putnam County, for example, to increase the affordability of housing in those areas to try to get people who maybe work in Cookeville or Putnam County, but maybe could live in one of the adjacent counties.
And we've seen that the White counties and the Overton counties specifically and Cumberland, I mean, those that are outlying to Putnam County have already started to have very large increases in their average home sale price. So they mm-hmm. their price now is 75 to 100% more than what it was 5 years ago. I mean, the average priced home in most of the counties back in 2012 were around $115,000, and that was at a 4% interest rate. So we're already seeing the land prices and home prices increase. Now, when you stretch out to a Fentress or a Pickett County, you know, the land prices are cheaper, but it's also a matter of construction costs, because they might be able to acquire the land at a low price, but then you're getting hit with, you know, $300,000 to build a 1,500 square foot house.
And then you are spending money on gas going back and forth if you still live in that county or work in Putnam County. But Jeremiah Miller, I want to bring you into this conversation, because how much of an impact on the idea of high paying jobs, high quality jobs, is this idea that I got to have a good place to live? How much do they go hand in hand?
Well, I think they go hand in hand, but I also feel like it's a balance act, because, you know, you're asking a business owner to raise their pay for their employees, but they've also got to make a profit. And, you know, just talking with most of your business owners, you know, most, especially local business owners, are, you know, literally a month to 2 months away from themselves possibly being bankrupt if something doesn't happen the way that it needs to, like a contract misses or something like that. And so, you know, I think all around we're kind of seeing the effects of, you know, just the inflation in general.
Higher paying jobs is something that, I mean, who's going to argue with that? But what do we mean by that? What?
Well, in most circles that I'm a part of, higher paying job just means that, you know, the pay increase, overall salary increase.
Higher quality jobs. What does that mean?
Well, that is open for interpretation. It really is. And so what would be a quality job for me may not be a quality job for the next individual. And so that alone is just where an employee has to identify what is quality to them. And working with, you know, one of the things that we've been doing through Empower is talking with employers about, you know, what that quality looks like, you know, educating them, educating that upper management about, you know, some of the struggles that, say, your lower income families would have. And so through that, you know, we're starting to see where more employers are at least willing to have that conversation to possibly increase, you know, that pay rate or go through different trainings to kind of understand that demographic as a whole.
One of the things that has come up, for example, in Putnam County is that the city and county is in a situation where they don't need to just recruit every job. That they want to look at, you know, jobs that are paying $80,000 a year and that sort of thing. Megan, as you talk to leaders, you think that is kind of what they're talking about when they say higher quality jobs?
I think pay is a very obvious need for, you know, when you think of a quality employment. But the longer that I supervise individuals, I realize that pay is not always what matters. Culture is a huge deal. Having a good culture and enjoying waking up every day and coming to work is really important. And there's a lot of ways that a company can increase their culture and increase the want for family or want for individuals to come to work to every day and looking forward to it. Sometimes it's as simple as bringing ice cream in on a Friday, and sometimes it's more about, you know, looking at the paid time off structure and what the vacation leave options are. And I know that's a very important thing too. So quality is subjective depending on person to person. You know, I know when I was growing up, in my mind, all that mattered to me was the dollar sign and how much came behind it. But I realized too that there's a lot more to it. So I think that having a good culture is very important as well.
Let's come back to that as we talk about the issues facing the Upper Cumberland, specifically related to jobs and housing, with Jeremiah Miller, Charles Cobb, Megan Spurgeon. Jeremiah Miller is the Upper Cumberland Workforce Board's Business Services and Performance Administrator. Charles Cobb is an Economic Development Planner at UCDD. Megan Spurgeon is leading the efforts with Empower Upper Cumberland. Some of this, when it comes to the quality of jobs and how to create those, it strikes me that it is it's a difference in age, it's a difference in generation, mm-hmm. It's a difference in what people think of jobs. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, Megan, there are times that I struggle with this because the way that I was brought up that a job works is not a lot of the way that some in younger generations think about that. Mm-hmm. Do you hear that from a lot of business leaders?
Yeah, definitely. And I think Jeremiah can speak to more of the specifics that he's hearing from business leaders, but I do know from our own trainings that we've done over at HRA and the DD, there are more generations in the workplace at this moment than there ever has been before. I believe it's 5, maybe 6 generations that are in the workplace. So as a manager, trying to appeal to each of those generations is also difficult because what somebody likes, not everyone does. And a perfect example of that is we brought in these 24 navigators to serve the 14 counties of the Upper Cumberland and work with families, and we made those positions completely remote. and not everybody wants to be remote. We thought that would encourage people and make them glad to know they could do that, and that's not the case. So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Jeremiah, what do you hear?
You know, I'm hearing the same exact thing, and it really is generational. You know, I would say the older generational, they do look at pay.
More mature is what we like to be called.
Okay, more mature.
Thank you.
But the more mature tend to, you know, they do look at those leadership roles. They also look at the pay increases. However, you know, you go to a younger generation, they may enjoy quality time with their family. So they're looking at more time off or, you know, more flexible schedules, maybe even working remotely. But, you know, one thing I have found is not one thing fits everybody. And so employers are seeing that they need to be more flexible in their benefits packages and PTO and things like that.
Which is one thing if you're running a business that has 500 employees. It's another thing, though, and we have a lot of this in the Upper Cumberland, of small businesses. Mm-hmm. And so when you have 25 employees, sometimes that flexibility is hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's not just a answer. You know, that I think that's what everybody keeps looking for, is what is the answer? And unfortunately, just based off the circles that I've been able to be around, there's not a answer. It's basically, to me, from the employers that I've spoken with, you just have to put your best foot forward. You have to put your best offer forward, and you're going to attract some, and others you're not.